we've seen it once. We've seen it a million times. When the Yankees hit home runs, they're pretty good. They kind of beat anybody. So you had 4 runs total in the first 3 games against Boston. Only 2 solo homers. Last night, though, was quite the opposite.
2-1. Pitch to Jazz. Swing on deep drive. Right field. It's hit hard. Going, going. Goodbye. Jazz Chisholm, everybody. With a home run tonight, his 2nd 2-run shot.
Dave Sims, 8th inning call here on the Fan.
Chaz Chisholm.
Yeah. Our guy. Career home runs number 100 and 101 for Jazz. Trent Grisham also went deep twice, giving 5 on the year, and the Yanks did beat the Red Sox 7-2 to avoid a 4-game sweep at the stadium, which would have been the first for Boston and the Bronx, 4-game variety since 1939. Mm. So good on the Yankees not allowing that to happen. Meaningful night for Chisholm, the 2 home runs, playing with a heavy heart, as he revealed after the game.
It felt kind of surreal. You know, I lost my best friend yesterday, so...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, today felt like a different type of day, especially with the 100th home run coming today and everything, you know.
So he didn't get into any details other than he was going through a lot over the past 30 hours or so. The cameras caught him a little emotional with Aaron Judge, kind of burying his head in the captain's chest after hitting that 100th career homer earlier in the game off Red Sox righty Dustin May. A little different looks at the lineup last night. You had Ben Rice in the 3-hole playing first base, but more notable was Jose Caballero in for Anthony Volpe at shortstop. Here was Aaron Boone on Caballero's versatility and what he has shown since coming over in the trade from the Rays.
I think a winning like championship caliber, like that's like the kind of 10th man you want that can go legit play defense at 4 or 5 different spots and be good at it.
Obviously runs the bases pretty well, too. And late in this game, you got Caballero out in right field for Giancarlo Stanton. Anthony Volpe, who sat at the start, entered defensively at short. So he said, I know you guys touched on this in the open, he's been told he'll sit again tonight and then return to the lineup on Tuesday. So a little soft reset for him. See if they can get him going as the Yankees will open a 3-game series with the Nationals this evening. Good point by Fleegs this morning, because I was like, oh, Schlittler and Lord tonight. And he goes, you got to say it the other way around. Lord Schlittler.
There you go.
Fun. Brad Lord, Cam Schlittler on the mound for tonight's opener. We've got pregame coverage 6:25 here on the Fan and the free Odyssey app. I should mention Carlos Rodon as well, who was cruising.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden in the 6th, and I had the game on radio at this point, and nothing against Susan. And she's like, oh, you know, he's got plenty left in the tank. Pitch count's in good shape. And all of a sudden, 31. No, it was. It's just funny how it
a lot did. Of close pitches in that inning, too.
Yeah, and he wasn't happy coming out of the game. A couple of close pitches in that last at bat before he gave up the walk and got lifted. But he did say afterwards, he goes, look, Wells does such a good job of framing back there. They looked like strikes. But I think when he went back and saw it, he realized,
maybe,
you know, they were close, but not quite strikes. So
yep.
One hit allowed, but he couldn't quite get through that 6th inning. Yanks are half game up on Seattle for the 3rd wild card spot and a half game back of Boston, though they are even in the loss column despite losing 3 out of 4 to the Sox over the weekend. Now, Jerry, you mentioned wanting the GoPro in the booth for Saturday's debacle. Well, here was a 30-second audio sample from the Yes feed. Michael Kay, Paul O'Neill, as Game 3 of the series turned into a laugh for Saturday.
Driven deep to left field. Bellinger back. Turning. Looking. See ya. A 2-run home run by Narvaez. And it can't get much worse than this.
Michael, you said, I mean, every once in a while, you get embarrassed on the field. And this game has just snowballed. Crochet was the thing you had to get through, and he was just too good. But then the Yankees have absolutely fallen apart here.
And that pretty much illustrates what went on, especially in Saturday's blowout. So not a good look through the first 3 games of the series, but they do salvage the finale on Sunday.
No, they had more errors than runs scored
through
the first 3 games.
5 errors to 4 runs scored. Nah, not what you want, as Joe Girardi used to say.
Not what you want.
In a sense.
It sucks.
And you would sometimes throw that on the back end. It's not what you want, in a sense. Yeah. All right, we go down to Atlanta now. Chance for the Mets to sweep a 3-game set from the Braves. An early 2-0 lead against Bryce Elder and his 6-plus ERA, but that was pretty much it. Offense went to sleep for the most part the rest of the way.
0-1. Line towards center. Here comes Mullins. Down for a base hit and bounces by. Albies is in. Murphy right behind. Brujan goes to third. 2 runs are in. Profar brings them both home, and it's 4-2 Atlanta in the 8th.
That's amazing. Keith Redd, Odyssey Mets Radio. Gregory Soto giving it up in that frame, and the Mets on their way to a 4-3 loss. Now, they did get a Juan Soto RBI single in the 9th and had a few cracks at it with Alonso and McNeil, but both popped up. 1-for-9 with runners in scoring position. They left 10 aboard for the game.
This game was lost to me in the third and fourth innings.
Yeah.
When they had opportunities to tack on after the 2-0 lead, and they don't do it. No killer mentality. And then you give the Braves life, and here you go.
And they get a couple of two-run innings. The Atlanta offense did. We covered the eighth there with that two-run single. There was also the sixth inning for David Peterson, who had a shutout going. He ended up not getting out of that frame for manager Carlos Mendoza.
He got a ground ball, and we couldn't turn the double play there, you know. And then after that, you know,
after
you feel like
the ballpark after that.
Running out first with two outs, left on Les on Harris, bloop single there, then a walk, obviously. And then you still feel good with him there and just kind of like lost it there of the last two batters.
Yeah, he ended up with four walks despite eight strikeouts. He gets through 5 2/3, and then the Mets come out of that lead instead of the 2-0 lead. It's tied, and we see what happens in the eighth inning there. But like Jerry said, not able to tack on offensively.
I think Ron Darling said during the game, you know, you go into whatever inning it was, fifth, sixth inning, and it felt like they were in control of the game, but yet you look up, it's 2-0. And where it should have been 4-5-0, and then all of a sudden, here come the Braves. They score a couple of runs, and next thing you lose the game.
Yep. So a chance to finish the weekend on a high note goes by the wayside. Mets come back home now for 3 with the Phillies. You got Kodai Senga and Christopher Sanchez tonight. They're still game and a half up on the Reds, who dropped 2 out of 3 in Arizona, but they did win on Sunday.
What was the Mets' high mark? The high mark was what, 6.5 game lead in the NL East? Do you remember, Fleegs?
I think it was either 6 or 6.5, yeah.
So you think they were 6.5. Think about these two teams.
Yeah.
The Mets, let's say 6.5 up at one point. They're now 7 back.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 13 game, which is incredible.
Yeah.
And the Yankees were 7 up, right, at one point. And now they're like 5 or 6 or whatever it is back.
The divisions have gone by the wayside.
The way both have flipped.
Yes, Yankees are 5.5 back, 5 on the loss side with Toronto, and the Mets are 7. And a full 7 on the loss side to the Phillies, who continue to play good baseball, even though obviously what went down with Zach Wheeler, and we learned over the weekend thoracic outlet syndrome, and he's going to have the surgery and everything. So not a good situation for him. So hopefully he's able to come through it from the Phillies' perspective and his own personal perspective. But they will go without him the rest of the way. I mentioned the Mariners earlier. Cal Raleigh with home runs number 48 and 49 in a Mariners win over the A's in Seattle. He sets the record for home runs by a catcher in a single season, passing Salvador Perez. And those were a couple of bombs as well from the right side for him yesterday against Sacramento. NFL roster cuts on the way as we go from 90 to 53 by tomorrow afternoon. Fliegelman and I, go ahead.
Real quick, like they're showing, CBS Sports Network has the highlights.
Of Cal
Where are the fans?
I don't know.
Yeah. That's Seattle.
On nice vacation.
Season. They've had a... Come on, man. They've had a great they've had a really good season.
Yeah.
I know it's Oakland or Sacramento or Vegas or whatever you want to call
still
them.
Still divisional opponent.
How is that place not sold out?
I don't know. Something else going on in Seattle yesterday, maybe? I'm not entirely sure.
I don't know. That's surprising.
Yeah.
But that's where I continue to give props to the Met and the Yankee fan that continue to show up.
Oh, Yankee fans are going to show up no matter what's going on.
Well, that's not true. I'm watching. You go back in the 80s and Yankee fans didn't always show up.
Oh, I'm not talking about the 80s.
I'm just saying that's not always true. But it's
eventually,
been a very up and down.
Enough, they won't show.
Yeah, it's been a very up and down season, and yet every game it's they're sold out. So you give them a lot of credit.
That's interesting. You know, now you've got me curious. I kind of want to go and see the Mariners attendance over the weekend to see if it was just yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a sun splash day in Seattle.
See, now this is what's misleading too. You just saw the
tickets sold. That's the problem.
37,550? No way. Not based on what we just saw.
I would say no, but I also don't know what is the stadium. Does the stadium hold 55? Because then you can make the case it's close. I don't know what.
I feel like most stadiums don't. Yeah, wow. 47,929.
Yeah, you're right. 37 is not representative of what we just saw.
No, and that was actually the high number for their weekend series against the A's. So a little misleading.
Okay.
NFL roster cuts. So Fleegs and I were talking about this a little bit. It is interesting kind of to track what's going to go on with Tommy DeVito here over the course of the next
I think he's
going to
get released.
So. You do think so, huh?
I do.
I
think he'll be put on the... If my guess is he goes to the practice squad and someone grabs him. If I was an NFL team, I'd grab him in a heartbeat.
Well, that's why I figured if
you're the Raiders, you need to grab him.
If they feel that way,
well, maybe they can make
feel
a deal.
That's what's going to happen. Yeah, you see a lot of these guys that are moving teams over the last week or so for these late round pick swaps.
He's proven he can play in this league.
Certainly from a backup standpoint compared to some of the other slop we've seen, especially in this preseason.
I don't know that I would want to go into a season with him as my starter, but if he was my backup, I'd feel very comfortable in that position.
All right, now, and I'm sure you guys, I know you'll, probably break this down as the show goes on so I can do a lot of football. So because of what Dart showed And I know Dable was, they were like, oh, is he going to be the number two? Yeah, we'll see. He's playing it close to the vest. Because of what he showed, do you keep DeVito and try to trade Jameis?
They said they're not trading Jameis.
I know what they said.
Well, I'm just telling you. I don't
say a lot of things.
Would I trade him? I want him.
DeVito would be the only one that needs to go, if anybody. Yeah, you have to understand. Nobody knows. I mean, hopefully Russ is the guy, but if he doesn't fare well, you know,
they're going to go to Dart now.
You're a good person to ask.
I don't think they're going to go to Dart.
You don't, if in the first few weeks of the season they don't play well and they're not winning games, you think they're going to go to Jameis before Dart?
I would. I think you, listen, the preseason is one thing, the regular season is a different dog.
I get that.
Yeah, and I think we can't fall in love because the kid has shown competency at the position. I think you got two savvy veterans on your roster at quarterback. You preserve Dart and allow him to grow and flourish within the system, but throwing him out there, when you have Jameis, who has a lot of experience, Russell has a lot of experience, like you have two horses in the stable. Why waste a kid? Well,
and they're going to know better than us when Dart's ready. You know, like, we only see what we see in the preseason games, to your point. So, like, they know behind closed doors whether they're going to be comfortable with it. But you know that publicly there's going to be a lot of call and pressure for it. Not that they should cave to that.
No, but because of the way he played.
Right.
You're exactly. Not wrong. You NFL Talk on the Fan presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus. All season long, visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. You certainly sound like you would want Dart to be the first guy in after
I'm
Russell
just
Wilson.
Going based on what I've seen. You know, like, if they're
all right, here's a scenario.
Yeah.
Because you're painting the scenario, they're not playing well.
Or they're not winning games. The schedule's
fair
tough.
Enough.
We know that, you know.
What if they're 1-1, Russell Wilson gets hurt? I think in that case, you do go to Jameis Winston.
Yeah, that's probably true. 100%. And that's probably what they're guarding against right now. So, look, I don't want to get too caught up in the DeVito story's fun for obvious reasons. You know, it's just like, it's kind of like,
he doesn't leave.
It would be a shame to lose him for nothing, you know, because he's shown enough. It wasn't just the flash in the pan and the cutlets and everything. He's stuck around. He's found himself a home in Dable's system. He played well in the preseason. He seems to be a really good teammate. Fleeks and I were even saying, like, maybe he doesn't have to leave the market. And the Jets, you know, could, I would say quarterback depth-wise, especially with Tyrod Taylor banged up, they could do, you know, Adrian Martinez and this Cook, you know, I don't know.
I can't imagine a scenario where he just sits as a practice squad player. It doesn't seem to make sense to me.
That's why I would think that there's a market for that, but maybe not with all the bodies moving. And I know the Jets moved on from Martinez, so it's going to be Cook at least for now as the third. But a lot of moving parts.